The following segment is general in nature and should not be taken as personal professional advice. Listeners should seek their own independent assessment from a qualified advisor and not rely solely on the general nature of information in this program.
Very strong volume.
Market share buyback.
Yes, it's 20 to 6. It is time to welcome Roger Montgomery into the studio. How are you, Roger?
Oh, John, I'm very, very well. So what I wanted to do today is, I know there's a lot of people driving at the moment, and I've had a lot of feedback, people saying, Roger, every time you're on, you know, I pull the car over and I like to take some notes. So this will be one of those times where you may want to take some notes. What I'm going to talk about is two things.
I better get my pen.
Yeah, ready. Grab your pen. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about how to identify a good business to start with. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about how to value that business. And we're going to do that in about 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And that should be enough time.
Or 12.
12 minutes. Fine, John. You know better than me. Okay, so we've got 12 minutes. So the first thing is in my philosophy, and this is just one fund manager's philosophy, right? So it's not every fund manager that I know, but my philosophy for investing is that you only want to invest in good businesses, mm-hmm. really extraordinary businesses, because if you buy businesses, for example, that don't make any money or mining exploration companies, you're not really investing, you're speculating and you're making some guesses about the future. And that's a bit like betting on black or red or playing the lotto and deciding whether to go first in line or second in line. You know, you really don't know. So I believe that you should be only valuing extraordinary businesses. So the way I'm going to describe an extraordinary business is by describing a business that's poor. So I want you to imagine for a moment, we'll go through some numbers. These are real numbers, okay? So I'm going to do this relatively slowly so that everyone understands what we're talking about. I want you to turn the stock market off, John, and I want you to imagine for a minute that we're going to buy a business outright. So we're going to invest our money and set up a business or buy it outright. Now, it's 2003, okay? We're going to invest $184 million of our own money. So you're going to write a check for half and I'll write a check for half, okay? Mm-hmm. That doesn't matter whether how much it is, the percentage is, but it's $184 million. That's not quite enough to get enough scale in this business. So we're also going to run down to the bank. And we're going to borrow $139 million as well.
$139.
So we've written checks from our, sought permission from our partners and they said, yep, go for it, guys. It sounds like a good idea. So we write checks for $184 million. We go to the bank. The bank lends us $139 million. So we now owe the bank $139 million. Mm-hmm. Now we get someone else. Oh. Don Knight, for example. Don Knight mm-hmm. comes in and he runs this business for us. And he runs it for 1 year, and at the end of the first year, he comes back to us and he says, John and Roger, I've done a good job. I've run it for a year. I've made $110 million profit.
Profit, okay.
Okay, that's after tax, after everything, $110 million. And that's about 60%, close enough to 60% on the $184 million that we put in. I think it's about 59% or thereabouts. Okay, so we are absolutely delighted with that return on our equity. And the reason why we're delighted is because if we put that $184 million in the bank, we would have got about $9 million, maybe mm-hmm. $8 million. So to get $110 million is fantastic. The return on our equity from putting the money in the bank is about 4 to 5%, but the return on equity for running this business has been close to 60%. So we're greatly encouraged by this result, and we decide that we're going to run the business for another 10 years. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're so excited about this. It's going so well, John, that we decide let's keep going for 10 years. Now, fast forward to 2012. Mm-hmm. We asked Dom to come back. Dom reports to us the results for the 2012 financial year, and he says we've made $43 million.
On what base?
Well, hang on a sec. So first, right. We'll come back to that in a second.
Okay.
But first, the profit's gone down. So it was $110 million
yeah.
back in 2003. It's now $43 million. Someone said to me when I presented these numbers, at that point, they said, okay, so Dom sacked. Right, he's out. So they were fairly ruthless in business. So that's the numbers. Now, in addition to that decline in profit, we've also been putting more money in.
Ah, well, see, that was the important part because
correct.
That could have been a good figure if, after Dom left initially, the business had collapsed because for one reason or another.
Yeah, yeah.
So that $43 million could have been a 50% return.
Correct. Well, but it hasn't. What's happened, we've put more money in. In fact, we've put in $529 million of additional capital.
How much? 529?
529. On top of the 184 that we put in 10 years ago, we've tipped in another 529.
You sure that was a good idea?
Clearly not. Mm. And the company has retained profits over the course of the, and not paid us a dividend over the course of the ensuing 10 years. And it's so rather than take dividends, we've ploughed back some of those profits. We've ploughed back $120 odd million of profits as well.
Ooh,
so about $650 million of additional funds we've put in on top of the 184 that we put in at the start. But our profits have gone from $110 million to $43 million in that time. Now, the story's not over yet. In addition to that additional capital...
Have we paid back the loan?
Have we paid back the loan? Not quite, right, John. In fact, we now owe the bank $1.7 billion. Remember we borrowed $139 million 10 years ago?
Yeah.
We now owe the bank $1.7 billion. So
how do we suddenly owe the bank?
Because we kept borrowing more money.
Oh, we kept borrowing more.
We kept borrowing more money to keep the business afloat.
This is not a good business.
This is not a good business, is it? Now, everyone listening can probably tell me that this is not a good business. Now, this is how we look at listed companies. It's really quite simple. We've only seen three bits of information.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen the capital that's been put in by the owners.
Yep.
We've seen the debt. And we've looked at the profit. So we've looked at three numbers. We looked at them in 2003 and we looked at them again in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And we've immediately worked out this business doesn't have great economics. Now, this is a real company. It's listed on the Australian Stock Exchange. It's called Virgin Australia Holdings.
As in the airline?
Correct.
Really?
These are the numbers from Virgin. So I wouldn't invest in that business. What I'm interested in is a business that grows its profits every year and doesn't require any additional capital and has paid down all its debt or never needed any debt to start with. So a great business is the antithesis of the one I've just described.
Okay, I'll argue for Virgin for just a second.
Go for it. You can argue till you're blue in the face, John.
Let's come back to one of those big figures that were there, the more investment, the $529 million.
Of extra capital
extra
we contributed,
capital.
Yeah.
But that could be for a very good reason, could it not? It could be for acquisition of more planes. It could be for acquisition of...
Another business. Yeah,
yes.
It was for
and
all those things.
They took over SkyWest and they took over...
And the profit's gone from $110 million to $43 million, John.
But isn't that potentially a growing business?
No, it's growing backwards. Sorry, it's going... Well, it doesn't matter if it's going or growing. It's going backwards, isn't it? So, it's used money to make acquisitions of new planes or whatever it... For working capital or whatever it is, but it's taken more money out of our pocket over the last 10 years and earned less.
Mm.
So when it was earning 60% return on our money 10 years ago, it's now earning about 4 or 5% on our money that we've subsequently injected into the business. So it's no better than a bank, but worse, we actually owe more than we own. We owe $1.7 billion to the banks now. So we don't really own any of this business at all. The banks own all of it and some.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one way of looking at it.
But even given that, and given who's behind it, and we talked about the larger franchise of Richard Branson,
yes,
that's not a sustainable model then.
Well, no, it's somehow it's being subsidised by the banks and the shareholders, isn't it, when you look at it in those terms. Mm. And so, look, it may be that the share price goes up at some point, but in that 10-year period, the share price tends to track the performance of the business.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe, as Benjamin Graham once said, that in the short run, the stock market is a voting machine, but in the long run, the stock market is a weighing machine. And so 10 years ago, the share price for Virgin was about, it listed at about
$3,
I think. That was in 2003.
Yeah.
In 2004, it was trading about $2.50 or thereabouts. It's now 43 cents.
43.
Or thereabouts. So the share price is significantly lower than where it was 10 years ago.
Given all that, you've divided that as a way of searching for value. But it's a great example.
No, not value, economic performance, whether it's a good business or not, whether it's a business I want to
own. By describing a poor business, by breaking it down into three particular areas, which is have a look at the capital investment, consider the amount of debt the company is in, and look at the return on profit.
Yeah. It's really quite simple. And you can look at every business like that. You can look at any business like that. In fact, we've got a system where we look at every business automatically listed. We can look at every business in the world this way, literally at the touch of a button. So it's very, very helpful to us to look at businesses this way, because Warren Buffett said, if you're not prepared to own the whole business for 10 years, don't be prepared to own a little piece of it for 10 minutes.
So can you, would you break those down, those 3 points, into a percentage out of 100, clearly, of importance? In other words, what level does debt
I think you've got to look at all three. You can't get a picture unless you look at all three.
What I'm saying is, would you rank them in any particular order, about all three, or
No, I wouldn't, John, because I want to know what the economic performance is of the business, and to understand that I need all those three numbers, and that gives me what's called a return on equity and a return on assets, and that's going to tell me whether this business is good or not. Now, once I've decided it's a bad business or I don't like the economics of that business, I simply walk away. I don't try and work out what the price is that I want to pay for that. I just walk away. There are a lot of businesses with economics like that that are listed on the Australian Stock Exchange, and many of them make up the major indices that we talk about in the news. You know, the ASX 200 did X, Y, and Z today, and you'll hear that later on in the news. But though that index is based on a lot of companies that have those economics. So I can do better than the index, or I should be able, in theory, to do better than the index by just removing those companies from our fund's portfolios, from our clients. So we don't want our people in those businesses. We want them in good quality businesses, and they should, over time, do better than the market in general.
No, it's a great example, though.
Thanks. And in a fortnight, what we'll do is we'll talk about how to value that company, what to pay for that company.
To next week.
Okay, if you want
people will keep consistent on this very point, but that was a good example, and I don't know whether we can put up a sheet or something.
I can.
We'll try and do that.
Do you want me to write something up for you?
Yeah, that'd be
okay,
good.
I'll email it to you.
Post it and then get that away, because people would like to understand that and see how it all works. That's
okay.
Terrific.
Easy.